final book of the witness, which is in Revelations, the 8th chapter. And there we'll pick up verses 3 and 4. Amen? Revelations, the 8th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Everybody in good shape? And you shall make an altar to burn incense on, and you shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width, and it shall be square. Two cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of one piece with it. You shall overlay its top and its sides all around, its horns with pure gold, and you shall make for it a molding of gold all around. Two gold rings shall you make for it, under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its two sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. And when he tends to the lamps, he shall also burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, nor a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon his horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. And once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's add to the witness the 141st Psalms. Lord, I cry out to you and make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Amen. And then lastly, we'll go to the book of Revelations. The 8th chapter. I'm going to do better. Now my movement is crap. Revelations 8:3. Let me read. I'll start at verse 1 and go down. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then the angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. The smoke of the incense represented the prayers of the saints, and they ascended before God from the angel's hand. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about, before we go into our communion portion of the service, I want to talk about the sweet aroma of prayer. Amen? The sweet aroma of prayer. With our heads bowed, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your great name. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to open our lips to you in prayer. Not prayer wanting anything, but prayer thanking you for everything. Thanking you for all that you are. Thanking you for the great attributes of God, your omnipresence, your omnipotence, your all-knowing, all-seeing, all-being, and to your eternal greatness that is before and after time itself. We thank you for what you have done for us. So many things, both in our lives here on earth and in heaven itself. Thank you that because of you, we are seated in heavenly places. Not on our own merit, not on our own doing, but the wisdom of God. For had this world known, they would have never crucified the Son of God. But you hid it in wisdom, far beyond the reaches and grasp of humanity, and even beyond the outstretched grasp of fallen angels. Even Satan, with all of his beauty and all of his glory and all of his giftings, could not ascend to the holy hill of God and know those things that God had hidden within himself. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing now, both in the earth and in heaven. Thank you that in heaven the angels are ever dispatched to carry out your will. Thank you for what you're doing in the earth. And yes, these clay vessels, broken vessels, nothing precious, nothing to be admired, but oh, what treasure we have in earthen vessels. Again, not treasure of ourselves, but treasure in that now we are filled with the Spirit of God. And when we pray, we pray not in our own language, not in our own tongue, but by your Spirit we pray, Abba, Father. We are transformed and we transcend time and space itself and are exported into the presence of God. Regardless of our location or proximity in the earth, we can be found in heaven, in your presence, when we pray. And for that, we thank you. Thank you for the escape route. Thank you for the exit we have. That when trouble rises and pressure grows great, you said with every temptation, you promised in your word that you would give us a way of escape. And that way is prepared by prayer. The sweet incense, the sweet aroma of prayer, that when offered unto God, sets the atmosphere, fills the room, sets heaven on edge. So we thank you for the privilege that is ours. Gone are the days where prayer is a burden. Gone are the days when prayer is something on our to-do list. Gone are the days when we find no time to pray. Thank you for the altar of incense. Thank you for the pattern that you gave to us. Yes. Something we could see in this life, yes, that points to a greater reality, yes, in the life yet to come. Yes. The life in your presence. The life in the eternal city. Yes. So God, as we set to study your word, we know not how we ought to pray. We oft struggle, reaching, grasping for what words to say, how to frame it, how to package it, how to set it before you in a way that is pleasing to you. Never realizing that all you wanted was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Forgetting the fact that we have an advocate. That when we are unable to speak for ourselves, Lord, I thank you that there stands one at your right hand who speaks for us, who speaks through us, and takes our feeble prayers, misshapen, misformed, mispronunciated, mis-memorized, and mingles the incense and offers a sanctified prayer. Not just in your ears, but in the nostrils of God. And this is a sweet smelling savior. Open our eyes to the deep truths and hidden knowledge contained in the Word of Life. We ask it now for the glorification of your Son, for the purification of the saints of God. To God be the glory for all that he has done. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. The fragrant smoke from burning incense symbolized prayer in the ancient biblical world. Because of the way the earthly tabernacle reflected God's heavenly sanctuary, the Israelites understood that the altar of incense had as its primary purpose the symbolizing of the prayers of Israel as they were made throughout the land, and that the perpetual burning of incense reflected the way people pray at all times, both day and night. In so much as the high priest always consciously represented the people in his actions in the tabernacle. His offering of incense was a means of portraying the prayers of the whole nation. After Aaron, only legitimate Aaronic high priests could offer incense, and only the high priest could do so on the actual golden altar of incense that was located in the holy place. Amen? Do you guys see the image of the tabernacle up there on the screen? It's not up there? Does it work? You see it? So I don't want to rehearse everything, so hopefully bits and pieces of this will sound familiar. But you see, this is the tabernacle, some call it the tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of God, but this is the tabernacle which was built by and for the Israelites, that as they were in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, it was this tabernacle that symbolized the presence of God in their midst, and it was the focal point of their worship. And I just want to point out a couple things. Again, this is not an exercise or a discourse or study in the tabernacle, even though that is a very worthwhile pursuit, and we'll make our way there. But I just want to point out a few things that are germane to what we want to discuss today. And so the first thing you see in the tabernacle compound is the altar of burnt offering. Okay? It was here that all of the sacrifices that we all know about throughout the Old Testament, this is where they were offered up. This is where they were offered up. It was made out of bronze. It had horns. They would tie the sacrifice down. They would kill it. Underneath, they had basins that would catch the blood. They had other basins that would catch the ashes. Underneath, they would place coals to heat it up so that the sacrifice would be burned. And this all took place at the altar of burnt offering. Then going toward the most holy place after the altar of burnt offering, you come to the brazen laver. It was here that the priests washed themselves. Read your Old Testament Bible. They washed themselves often because they couldn't touch anything that pertained to God unclean. So they were constantly at the altar washing themselves. Washing going in, washing coming out. And then you go from there, now you enter the next compartment, which is called the holy place. And in there were three elements. There was the table of showbread, and there was also the golden lampstand. The third piece, which is the focal point of our sermon today, there was the altar of incense. We're going to talk about that today, the altar of incense. And all of this was in the holy place. And then the next compartment, which was not separated by walls or stucco, not even doors, it only had a veil in front of it. And on the other side of this veil, which is called the most holy place, it was there that they placed the Ark of the Covenant, what our Bible calls today the Ark of the Testimony. And above that, connected to it, was the mercy seat of God. And all of that was in the most holy place. And in our text, you'll see, this is where God said, I am going to come down and meet with you there, in the most holy place. Okay? So I just wanted you to see that you have some context and backdrop for our discussion. Especially if you weren't as familiar. But that's the layout of the tabernacle. Those are the three areas. And again, I want to talk primarily about the altar of incense. And so looking at our primary text, Exodus 30, verses 1 through 10, I want to talk about five points of interest in this passage. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the price of the altar of incense. Then after that, I want to talk about the position of the altar of incense. it was important where it was placed. Then after that, I want to talk about the priority of the altar of incense. Fourthly, I want to talk about the fact that there was no profane offering or incense allowed on the altar of incense. No profane offering or incense allowed. And then lastly, I want to talk about the participation of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. So 5 points to the sermon: the price of the altar, the position of the altar of incense, the priority of the altar of incense, no profane offering or incense allowed on the altar of incense, and then lastly, the participation of the high priest on the Day of Atonement with the altar of incense. Amen? So here we go, verse 1. You shall make an altar to burn incense on it, and you shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width. God told him, I want it to be a square, and it shall be, and its 2 cubits shall be its height. In addition, it shall have horns of 1 piece with it. And you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding also of gold all the way around. And 2 gold rings you shall make for it. Under the molding on both of its sides, you shall place them on its 2 sides, and they shall be holders for the poles with which to bear it. In verse 5, and you shall make poles of acacia wood, and also overlay them with gold. Unlike the altar of burnt offering, which in its construction not only consisted of wood, but the overlaying of bronze, the altar of incense, in contrast, was overlaid with pure gold. Now, bronze has value, but not as much value as gold. The burnt offering, where there is going to be death, sacrifice, blood, build that with bronze. But the altar of incense that is inside the holy place, he said, that have the artisans cover that one with pure gold. Why? Because it represents something to God that is very valuable. You follow what I'm saying? We're talking about the altar of incense. The New Testament writer picks it up in 1 Corinthians 6:20 and says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The altar of incense, located in the holy place, not outside in the outer court, but in the holy place, close to God, that had to be covered with gold, because in the sight of God, it represented something very valuable. Touch somebody next to you and tell them, you're valuable to God. Yeah. And let me drop a note on you. And you're more valuable than gold and silver. Gold and silver, that gold is just trying to help us get the concept of what God is trying to say. Because now Peter picks it up in 1 Peter 1:18. He says this, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but he said you were redeemed or purchased with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. So you are more valuable to God, because God did not cover the altar of incense with gold to symbolize you were gold to him. But he covered it with gold, a material that was precious, so that we would understand that in the sight of God, we too are precious. Yeah. we too, as believers in the new covenant of God, are precious to our God, and we know it because he paid for us with the blood of his own son.
Amen. Amen.
Just throw your hands up and say, thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you were purchased. You got to understand, God made a deal with himself. Unable to turn away for our sins, lest there be some kind of remission, some kind of payment. God, seeing that the price was too high for us to pay, and therefore us being without sacrifice, he told Moses, God will provide the sacrifice. Never telling Abraham never saw it then, but it was not that God was going to provide the sacrifice. It was that God was going to be the sacrifice. The ram caught in the thicket was more than a ram. He was a symbol picturing what Abraham's son was to him. God said, in like manner, I'm going to offer my son up on the altar. Why? Because you are valuable to me. Tell somebody, say, you're valuable to God. Not only are you valuable, and that's why the gold was over the altar of incense, but in verse 6, I want you to pay specific attention to the position of the altar of incense. Look what it says. And you shall put it before the veil, that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. This is our position to God. You notice the diagram. It wasn't off to the left. It wasn't off to the right, like the showbread. But God gave specific instructions. He said, the altar of incense, he said, I want you to put it right in front of me. Right? He said, put that, no, not off to the left, not off to the right. But I want you to know your position matters to God.
Amen.
And how many know we have our position not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ, our Savior. And so the position of the altar matters. In the biblical accounts of prayer, there were many postures or positions that were taken. Abraham fell on his face and prayed before God. Moses prayed with his hands outstretched. King Solomon knelt in his prayer. And Jesus prayed looking up into heaven. Communication with God does not require a certain physical position, but postures or positions of prayer do give expressions to the attitude of our hearts. And our hearts must be positioned before God.
Amen.
And I'm just trying to help you to understand that when we pray, we can't pray off to the left.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Off to the left means we pray about everything on the left side.
Yeah.
But we never say anything about the right. If you're going to be positionally correct when you pray, you can't pray off to the right. Lord, I'm praying about this, that, and the other. And that stuff over there, I'll handle that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to pray about that. I don't need to acknowledge that before you. But the altar of incense was placed directly in front of the most holy place, causing us to realize that when we pray, we must bring our hearts directly in front of God. And that means we got to pray about the stuff we want to pray about. But we also have to pray about the stuff we don't want to pray about. How many of you ever had some stuff you don't want God to know about? How many of you have got some stuff you just rather keep that hid? Well, let's talk about this. But no, if you're going to be positioned like the altar of incense, you got to bring your whole heart in front of God. All of your attitudes, good and bad, all of your likes and your dislikes, all of the good things, all of the bad, bring all of it into the presence of God. Do I got a witness in the church? This is why God instructed Samuel. He said, look, Samuel, do not look at his outer appearance. nor at his height, nor at his stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see as man does, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. Look at somebody and say, show God your heart. That's how you get in the right position to pray. How many know there are no secrets with God? Touch your neighbor and say, he knows everything. He knows what I did last night and the night before. He knows what I did last week. Let me show you how bad your God is. He already knows what you're going to do. That's why when we pray, we got to stand in the right position. Say, Lord, this is what the psalmist said. Lord, search my heart. Yeah. Sir, find out stuff about me I don't even know about. And I bring all of it into the presence of the Lord. Lord, search me. Turn the searchlight on from heaven. Try my mind. Try my motive. Try my attitude. That's the only way I know I'll come up clean. If you leave it to me, I'll only want you to work on certain areas. I'll only want you to fix certain things. But if I'm going to offer the incense of prayer, Lord, you've got to search my whole heart. I've got to stand positionally right in front of you. Nothing hid. Nothing held back. Everything I say, examined before God. Everything I do, coming up under the word of God. Is it right? Is it God pleasing? Is it God honoring? Is what I say or is what I'm doing troubling the Spirit of the Lord within me? And if so, Lord, purge me. Wash me with hyssop. You can't get washed if you have in and have out. You're going to get washed. You got to put your whole body in the tub. One of the hardest challenges I have as a father is getting my boys to put their whole bodies in the tub. They want to sit washing with a foot in. They want to sit on the... No. You got to put your whole body. Touch somebody and say, put your whole body in. Sometimes we pray and we just want to put your left foot in. Left foot out. Left foot in. Think it all about. But how many know that's not the right position? Right. If you're going to offer something from the altar, you got to put your whole. Set your name and say, search me out, Lord. Know my heart. Try my thoughts. And if there any wicked way in me, cleanse me and lead me into the way that is everlasting. So yes, you have the price of the altar. You have the position of the altar. And thirdly, there is a priority related to the altar of incense. And the priority is this, that when the priest came in, the high priest, they came in the morning and at evening. And every time they entered the holy place, they had to do what they had to do, but they also had to light the incense. The incense representing the prayer in the morning watch. Then again, in the evening watch. Covering both sides of the day. Day and night. Causing the children of Israel to understand that the Israelite people ought to always pray. And that's what he says here. This is why you have to, when Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when the lights on the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it as a perpetual incense before the Lord. Touch your name and say, you got to always pray. Why? What did the Bible say? You got to pray in order not to what? Not to faint. What? Something going wrong? What? Pick me up. Put it in the crease.
Right there. Like that.
So look, the New Testament picks it up in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and says, we are to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks,
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right, right. So pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we're always in prayer, but it does mean we should always be thinking about prayer. Every time, as you're taking in information throughout your day, all of it should be under consideration for prayer. Every time you miss an accident, I need to thank the Lord for that. That's a prayer point. You ought to go and pray God for that right there. Lord, thank you. I could have been hit. I could have been in an accident. No, you ain't got to wait to get back to the house to pray. That's a prayer point. I need to praise you now. When you go outside and you see the sunshine and you smell the fresh air, that's what? That's a prayer point. Lord, I thank you. Look at your handiwork. Look at how magnificent you are. Yes. Every time you wake up in the morning and you slide out of bed and mosey your way down to the bathroom, that's a what? A praying point. Yes. Lord, thank you for what? Another day. Yes. I slept through the night. Not only did I slept well last night. My mind was rested. My nerves were calm. And another night with the Lord. How many know you can be with the Lord while you sleep? Yeah, he's watching over you. He's worrying about it so you what? Don't have to. Why? That's why you got to always pray. Look what the Lord himself said in Luke 18. He told this parable to this end. He said men ought to always pray and not faint. Being in an attitude of prayer will keep you in an atmosphere of prayer. If you're always thinking about prayer, if you're always thinking about God, it'll keep you in an atmosphere where God is. So many of us, we keep God in a locked room. And when you go to that room, that's when you experience God. But how many of you know God's bigger than your room? He's bigger than your house. He's bigger than the city you live in. Right? And every now and then we got to let God out of the house. God, wherever I am, guess what? I'm still in your presence. Why? Because positionally, I've already opened my heart to you. Positionally, I've already confessed everything to you. So wherever I go, I take the Lord with me. Wherever I am, there the Lord is what? Also. So no matter where I am, it is a place and an opportunity for me to offer prayer on the altar of incense. Why? This is the priority. I ought to always pray. Are you praying today? Are you praying today? I want us as believers to mature to the point that when we're asked to pray, we don't have to jump through hoops to pray. You ever see somebody asked to pray and they're caught off guard? Huh? You want me to pray? Pray about what? And you know what they're doing? They're stalling. Now, if you find a mature believer and you ask them to pray, before you can pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. What? They're not trying to get in the presence. They've already been in his presence. And they're trying to get you to come into the presence of God. Because this is where I dwell. This is where I am. I don't have to get to the church house to pray. I don't have to get to my prayer. I'm praying all the time. Why? Because the Lord told me that's the only way I can prevent myself from fainting. If I stay in an atmosphere of prayer, cooking in prayer, washing in prayer, cleaning the car in prayer. Thank God for the little car you got. There was a time you didn't have a car. Oh, that turns into celebration. Lord, I thank you for it. I know it's not much. I know it's not what I envisioned. But thank God I got a car. Thank God I can get back and forth and not be dependent on something. Lord, thank you for the new car that is coming. And I mention it in prayer by faith. Because I believe your word said you would not withhold any good thing. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm just praying. So look, you have the position of the altar. You have the priority of the altar. And then it says there's no profanity or no profane thing offered on the altar. no profane thing. Verse 9, and you shall not offer strange incense on it, nor shall you offer a burnt offering, grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. What is this profane thing? This is what we're good at, myself included. We all love to offer God what we want to give Him. That's what we love. We love to give God what we want to give Him. Right? Turn your attention to Leviticus 10 and 1. And I won't rehearse the whole story for the sake of time, but one you may be familiar. Verse 1 says it all. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered a strange fire before the Lord. And here's the kicker, which he commanded them not. They offered God something he did not want. And the Bible writer calls it a strange fire. Let us be careful as believers not to offer God something he does not want. Now, at your leisure, you go back and you read Exodus. Moses, Red Sea, the building of the town, all of that. It's a Bible in one book if you really look at it. And if you go back and you read all of that, one thing we will not be able to deny when you walk away from it. God was very specific about what he wanted. You never see one God just say, bring whatever you have. No, he told them exactly what he wanted, when he wanted it, and how he wanted it. You read it. I mean, just look at the altar of incense. Very specific. It's got to be a square. It's got to be 1 by 2. It's got to be made of acacia wood. Don't bring any other substitute wood because it's cheaper. Lord, we've got extra bronze from the... No, it's got to be gold. It's got to have rings for the poles, and it's got to be put in the room where I said it's got to be put. Amen. Do you follow what I'm saying? Touch everybody and say, don't offer anything. Now watch this. I want you to, so you think I'm not fooling around, go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. I just want to show you this. And then we'll be done with it. We'll get down and have communion. You there, Hebrews, the 9th chapter? Go down to verse 23, and I'm just going to read a verse or two. It says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. That's your tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, Herod's temple. He hasn't entered those places. Which are, you got to get this, which are copies of the true. But Christ has entered into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Here's the word I want you to focus. When you read this, you got to focus in on this word. Copies. You see that in there? Twice. If you keep reading, 3 times. Copies. The tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, outer court, inner court, holy place, most holy place, Do you know why God was so specific? It was a copy of what was going on in heaven.
Amen.
He took heavenly worship, the way the angels praise God in heaven, and he downloaded it into Moses' brain, and he gave Moses one command. He said, build it according to the pattern that I showed you. Because if you tinker with it and do something different, then you will begin to lie on God about what's happening up in heaven. He took throne room worship done in a heavenly environment and downloaded it to human beings in sin, deprived, depraved, not knowing God, no longer having access to God. And that's why God told Moses, when you build it according to the pattern I've shown you. Don't change a thing. Because everything you are ready to do on the earth is a copy of what's going on in heaven. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is why we can't give God anything. Because if we offer him anything, it means that up in heaven, anything goes. But how many know it don't go in heaven? You got to give God what he wants, the way he wants. When that guy had to come in and light the incense with in the morning and at evening. He couldn't oversleep and say, oh my God, Lord, I'm sorry. I overslept this morning. Let me burn the incense at a... No, that's not when I want it. You read in that same chapter, verses 34 to 38, he was very specific of how the incense should be made. And after he gave them the instructions, look what he told Moses. He said, don't let anybody make this for personal use. This is holy. This is exclusively for me. You follow what I'm saying? So this is so hard for us, especially as sinners, as not being consecrated holier than God. We always have this challenge because we always want to do and give God what we want. But the problem we have is we don't know what's going on up in heaven. So even when it's well-intentioned, it's still wrong. Because we're only dealing with the copy. We don't know what's going on with the original sanctuary of God. Right? Touch your neighbor and say, get it right. Yeah, we got to give God what he requires. Not Abinadab and Abihu. They gave God what they wanted. They thought, why walk all the way back out to the burnt altar and get fire? It's fire right here. Save me some time. Save me some trouble and just get some fire here. But God rejected it and called it strange fire. Ask your neighbor, are you offering strange fire to God? Are you offering strange prayer to God? Are you praying about things you shouldn't be praying about? Are you doing things you shouldn't be doing now that you know what the Word of God says? So when you go into your prayer college, instead of offering the sweet aroma of prayer, you're offering up strange fire. Praying about things that don't even concern God. Praying about things that shouldn't even concern you. And you wonder why things are dying out in your life. It's because to God, it's a strange fire. It's not what it, that's why he said obedience is better than any kind of a sacrifice. Just do it the way I told you to do it. Just offer it when I told you to offer it. If you be obedient, God will bless you. If you do it God's way, God will bless it. Stop offering strange fire. That's what we're offering. And I got to be honest, I find find myself doing it too. Offering strange fire. Things that I shouldn't be praying about. Things that I shouldn't be worried about. But because I'm not in the position God wants me to be in, I started drifting to the left. I started drifting to my own way and my own desires. I'm no longer walking in the path that leads to righteousness. And as a result, I'm offering God strange fire. And God's not having it. Touch somebody and say, God doesn't have it. You've got to offer God what he wants when he wants it. And God, he will. He'll bless you then after you prove faithful, after you prove obedient. That's when the blessing of God comes down. Somebody say yes. All right, here it is. Let me grab that mic. It ain't working for me. Here it is, last point. We talked about the profane fire. Here's the last point. We want to talk about the participation of the high priest. All right? Now, verse 10. Here it is, and we're done. We're going right to the communion service. And Aaron shall make atonement upon his horns once a year. Right? That's the Day of Atonement. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement. And once a year, he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is most holy to the Lord. So every day, when he went in to dress the lamps, the high priest offered incense. Continually going up before God. Outside of the veil. But one day out of the year, the high priest would come into the holy place. He would first stop outside at the altar of burnt offering and get righteous fire. That's God-ordained fire. That's the fire God wants. Then he would go into the holy place and he would take incense from the altar of incense. And he would bring with him not only fire from the burnt offering, but he would also bring the blood from the burnt offering. And the high priest would enter into the most holy place. Touch your neighbor and say, he went behind the veil all year long, forbidden from going in. All he could do was offer incense on the outside. But there was a time in the economy of God, when all things had their plan and purpose, and God allocated a time, he said, at this set time, not when you want to go in, not when you feel like going in, not when the people tell you to go in, but at the set time, and not only at the set time, it had to be the high priest. Touch your neighbor and say, thank God for the high priest. He was the only one who could take the blood, fire, and incense and enter into the presence of God. All before, all of our prayers were on the outside of God. They were in his presence. They were on the other side of the veil. But only the high priest could enter into the veil, into the presence of God. And when he entered in, he would combine the blood. He would offer the incense using the fire from the burnt offering. And when he put it all together, the Bible said a cloud would cover the most holy place. I wish I had imaginative people. You guys don't watch enough television. But there was smoke. Not in the outer court, not in the holy place, but in the most holy, when the incense was offered, when the blood was offered, when the real fire of God was brought into the holy place, there was a cloud. Touch somebody and say, there is a cloud. Touch them and say, move with the cloud.
Why? Because the tabernacle was a mobile church. It kept on moving. And wherever the tabernacle went, the presence of the Lord went with it. Touch somebody and say, move with the cloud. And not only would the cloud come in there, but the Bible said a sweet smelling savior, a sweet smelling aroma would begin to come up out of the incense. A sweet smelling aroma would begin to permeate the presence of the most holy place. And before the high priest realized it, the Shekinah glory would come down. For he told them, this is where I'll meet with you. Thank God for the old covenant. Thank God for the Aaronic priest. Touch somebody and say, but I got a better covenant. How many dancers I got in my church? This. I'm giving you the warning. Flashing on the screen. This is where you shout in the sermon. All right. So now that you know, right? Everybody ready? Man, y'all do it. Light more incense. We ain't got enough smoke in here. Listen, I'm gonna give it to you because I'm for Hebrews 7, verse 21. But he, with an oath by him who said it to him, says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. And he said, you are a priest forever. Here you go, Aaron. According to the order of Melchizedek, we have a priest. Hallelujah to God. I thank God for Aaron. But Aaron died. I thank God for his sons, but they failed because they offered strange fire. And I thank God for pastors who are after the heart of God. But let me tell you something. Pastors fail too. Pastors come up short too. But thanks be unto God, we have a high priest, not like Aaron, not like Abinadab, but we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. One without the beginning or ending of days. Long time, but I told you I work around to it. This king of Salem was a high priest before Aaron. And he shall be a high priest after Aaron. And he serves for you and I as a copy of the greater high priest. And that high priest is Christ himself. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, who does not offer sacrifice continually, like the high priest. And every year he had to go back in. Another high priest, your turn, go back in. But the Bible said of Christ, he entered once and for all. Because his blood was strong enough to redeem us from our sin for all eternity. The high priest would offer sacrifice, and before he could leave the tabernacle, the people had already sinned. Before his time of service to come up again, the high priest had already what? Sinned already. That's why God said when he comes, he's got to first offer a sin offering first for himself, then for his house, and then for the people. But we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. A high priest forever. That means our sins are forgiven for what? Forever.
So here's the purpose. That stuff burned way too fast, Lillian. I thought it would take longer, but because now I don't smell nothing. I don't see it. We had it. Or maybe I preached too long, Lillian. Which one is it, Lillian? I only got a few good memories. Go ahead, Pastor. You good. But here it is. Here you go. Touch somebody and tell them. Ask them this question. Say, can you smell it yet? I wanted to get to the end of the sermon and the whole sanctuary be filled with the smoke from the incense as well as the aroma from the incense. Because as I was studying this text, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. He said, you are more worried about God hearing. I wish I had a real church. A real church. Say, Pastor, you took a while, but I got it. I want you to hear my prayer. When in reality, what God wants is not only to hear your prayer. Come on, just put your nose up and just sniff around. Come on, just go. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, can you smell it? Can you smell the aroma of prayer? And it's not any kind of prayer. The revelator said it's prayer of the saints mingled with the incense from the high priest, not in the temple made with hands. But we have a high priest that is sitting at the right hand of God. What is he doing? He's ever making intercession for you and I. So look what Jesus does. He takes your prayers, his prayers, his prayers, all of our prayers, and he places them here. And now he prays, look, not for us, but for our prayers. And then he offers your prayers, my prayers, mingled with his own prayers unto his Father up in heaven. And the Bible says to God, it's a sweet smelling Savior because it's prayer that's been through the fire. It's prayer that's been through the blood. It's prayer done the right way. It's prayer by faith. It's prayer seasoned with thanksgiving. It's prayer that offers supplication. It's prayer asking for forgiveness. It's prayer mingled with intercession. Touch five people and say, can you smell it yet? Can you smell it? Can you smell the aroma of prayer? Your prayer, my prayer, mingled with the prayer of our intercessor, our high priest. And when it hits the throne room of God, it's a sweet smelling Savior. Can God smell your prayer? Not your breath, not your cologne, but can he smell your prayer? Is it sanctified by the blood? Is it anointed? By the high priest himself. And so as we come around the communion table, let us not be concerned about whether or not he can hear our prayer. But can God smell it? Selfish prayers leave no aroma. Jesus told Peter,
He said, I prayed for you. How many of you realize that Jesus prays for you? We're so concerned. Hey, get word out to the prayer ministry. Tell the saints on Friday night to pray for me. Do you not know Christ Jesus is praying for you? And all we do when we pray, we follow the heavenly example. When the prayers of the saints are combined with the prayer and incense from the high priest, and together offered unto God as a sweet-smelling savior. Taylor, that's the aroma of prayer. Not whether you got incense in your prayer closet. Not whether or not you took a shower before you prayed. But are you praying according to the pattern that he gave us to pray? Do you know that when we pray, the first thing we ought to pray is for forgiveness? When was the last time you prayed and asked God for forgiveness? Watch this. I see I got holy rollers. Watch me knock them off their boat. Watch this. When was the last time you prayed and asked God for forgiveness and then left your gift there and went to the one offended, said, I'm sorry. And I need you to forgive me, because if you don't, my prayer can't be mingled. If I don't come and get it right with you, that's as far as my prayer goes. The high priest can never intersect my prayer. When was the last time you prayed for someone to be saved? For is not that the purpose for which he joined us to the body of Christ? To bring in, to build. Do weeks go by and you never offer God one name? Not to be healed, not to be delivered, not to get a job, not to get into the right college. But Lord, this is what I want. I want you to save them from their sins. That's what I want for them. That's the kind of prayer that the high priest mingles with his own prayer. When was the last time you prayed? And before the prayer was over, you realize you never told God thank you. It was all, Lord, I need this. I want you to do that. I need you to make a way. And you never once thanked him for the way he's already made. You never concluded your list and say, Lord, if you never do any of that, I'll praise you anyway. I'm still going to the prayer meeting. I'm still going to, whether you answer it or not, just because I love you so. The first and greatest commandment is what? It's to love the Lord thy God. When was the last time you prayed without loving on him? When was the last time you prayed and you didn't tell him how beautiful he was? Or how magnificent his handiworks? To you, it's just trees. Matter of fact, you wish somebody would cut them down so you could see. No, that's the handiwork of God. To you, they're just bad kids. Never realizing that to God, they're precious in the sight of God. When was the last time you prayed according to the pattern? When was the last time you asked them, Lord, let your will be done. Watch this. Not just in earth, but in this earthen vessel as it is in heaven. When was the last time you prayed that?
Or are you praying out of bounds again? Are you praying not after the pattern, but now after your own will, your own desires? But when we pray according to the proper pattern, the Bible says we have a high priest who serves as a mediator between us. We can't get there, the veil. In the Old Testament, the veil was a curtain. In the New Testament, the veil is our flesh. This flesh can't go into heaven, but someone for us already has. And the Bible said he is there now, waiting to make intercession. Intercession, intersect your prayer with his prayer. That is pleasing unto God. Have you offered anything on the altar of incense that is pleasing to God, so that the high priest, you read it in Revelation, the Bible said, and the angel was given much incense. When I read it and started studying, you know what I kept asking? Who gave him the incense? He was given it. Read it. That's what it, he was given. And he had the prayers of the saints already. But then he was given incense. And I believe the high priest gave it to him. He said, take those prayers and add my prayer to it. And now offer it unto God. And let it be a sweet smelling savior. Let us get prepared for the communion. Let us